It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. As always, Chris Biederman is here as well. He has the finest hair in all of podcasting. I really like the slick back hair look, dude.
Wow, thanks, dude.
Appreciate it. I'm a big fan. I love this journey for you. Almost as much as I love this podcast. We will talk about the 49ers draft, but before we do that, what?
No, that's you like my hair almost as much as the podcast. I don't know, dude. What that says. Either, is the hair that elite or is the podcast that terrible?
Well, we already know. We already know how we feel about the world's finest podcast. Sure. Before we get to the 49ers draft stuff, we are brought to you by Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. Promo code Candlestick20 for 20% off your order. Follow them on Instagram at SG Lamb Chops. Kyle, what's SG Lamb Chops? Well, person who's listening for the first time, apparently, they are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. They get sick-ass hoodies, t-shirts, shorts, joggers, whatever you want. They've got it for you. Whatever the season, Lamb Chops has got you covered. Their spring line is out now. It is all incredible. I'm a huge fan of the mechanic jacket. I think I might need one. But man, they got like cargo pants, they've got t-shirt, hoodie, all high quality, all super dope. Huge fan.
Wearing a t-shirt right now.
A Lamb Chops t-shirt specifically.
Lamb Chops t-shirt specifically. Came home from golf, was feeling warm. Usually wear a hoodie around the house. I don't know. I like being comfortable in the house in a hoodie. Temperature's a little bit up from being out in the sun all day. So going t-shirt and man, it feels great to put a Lamb Chops tee on. Got some sweat shorts on as well. We're matching real big in the house right now. We are fresh to death, as some might say, and just really, really enjoying Lamb Chops clothing as always. Our buddies, huge Timberwolves fan, Lamb Chops is obviously partnered with the Minnesota Timberwolves to make some really, really awesome gear. Timberwolves Suns, 1-point game late in the third quarter. Let us know in the YouTube comments if you want score updates. We can keep that for you during the pod game four of the Wolves Sun series. But, we love Lamb Chops. Shout out to our homies at Lamb Chops.
We're either thrilled that the Wolves won in a sweep, or we're looking forward to game five, however this game ends up. Of course, it'll be over by the time you're listening to this, unless you're listening live. Check us out on YouTube. We are also sponsored by SGLambChops.com. Promo code Candlestick20 for 20% off your order today. We are also sponsored by Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy sports made easy. You jump on the app or the website, you pick 2 to 6 players, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings pile up. You don't have to play against other people. You don't have to worry about like thousands of other entries being in. It's just you. It's just you and your stat projections. You pick more or less. There's basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, whatever your heart desires. You don't have to stick to one sport. I built a baseball and basketball entry today. Went very poorly for your boy, but that's okay. We're still up, and having a great time, which you will too with Prize Picks. So head to prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Okay, let's talk about the 49ers draft.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
Close has got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in! Touchdown!
All right, here's a hot take, Chris. I thought it was fine. I thought the draft was fine. Your thoughts? No, it was. I thought, just based on process and just trying to project out a little bit, like it's impossible to know who's going to be good and who's not, but I thought it was a really solid draft for San Francisco in their first draft without Adam Pearce.
Yeah, I would agree. I think there were a couple themes that you could take away, right? Like, I think the Niners addressed their needs, right? Like, they had very clear and obvious needs. I think you could make a case at receiver, which we talked about in the last pod, just given the uncertainty long-term at the position beyond this season. Like, the Ricky Pearsall pick is not necessarily because you need a third or fourth receiver super badly this season, although you might if somebody gets hurt. But that's sort of looking 2025 and beyond. Are Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk going to be around long term? I think we've said it a bunch on this podcast. I think it's pretty clear that more likely than not, Deebo Samuel is probably playing elsewhere in 2025. So for 2024, this Pearsall pick is, you know, he'll probably be on special teams. He'll probably get some burn as a third and fourth receiver and maybe fill in if somebody gets hurt. But he's not going to be a starter. More likely than not until 2025, at least. I thought Renardo Green, like, you know, I'm not going to do the thing where, and again, we joked about this in the last pod, but like, oh, liked him in the third round, hate him in the second. Like, I'm not doing that. You know, like, we're going to, we'll find out if these guys are good. And if they're productive players who help the team. Right. Like that's the most important thing. Like when somebody was drafted and where they took them, like I care less about that. If Kyle Shanahan thinks Renardo Green or the Niners personnel department thinks Renardo Green can be a starter down the line, then like it doesn't matter if he was a second round pick or a fifth round pick. Like if he's good, then that's like that. Coaches always talk about this. Right. And it's and I think it's true, more true with the 49ers and maybe a lot of other teams. As soon as you get drafted and you're practicing, it does not matter where you were taken. Mm-hmm. It's why somebody like Elijah Mitchell can beat out what's his name, the running back from Ohio State who they cut and ended up on the Eagles.
Trey Sermon.
It's why Elijah Mitchell can beat out Trey Sermon, right? It's You've why
forgotten Trey Sermon?
Dude, they're so like
disgusting.
I've been on like 75 flights since the last time I thought about Trey Sermon. The point stands though, like the point stands that like there are so many cases with the 49ers in particular, Juwan Jennings, right, and Dante Pettis. You can just look at so many Brock Purdy and Trey Lance. So many cases where as soon as after the draft, as soon as these guys start practicing, it does not matter a lick where these dudes were drafted, and it's just who's better. Diamador Lenore and Ambry Thomas, right? Ambry Thomas was a third-round pick. Diamador Lenore was a fifth-round pick. Pretty clear Lenore's a better player right now, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter to me when these dudes were drafted. So, like, you know, if you want to criticize the Niners for taking Renardo Green maybe a round earlier than some draft people on the internet had him, like, fine. But the bigger question is going to be, can he contribute into a starter? And if he can, it doesn't matter if he was a second round pick or a seventh round pick.
Yeah. Lewis so Riddick called him like the best cornerback in the class.
Yeah. And when you read about him, he's kind of like polarizing, right? There's like, he's probably not a fit for every scheme. He's not the biggest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like he has that dog in him. And I think another theme aside from the Niners, just like hitting on their roster needs, just experience. Like, it seems like they learned from drafting Brock Purdy and the experience that he got in college and how quickly that allowed him to adapt to the NFL. Obviously, that's polar opposite from Trey Lance, who only played 1 year of football at North Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Like, these guys are all seniors, fourth, fifth, sixth-year guys who played a lot of games in college. And that goes to what we talked about leading into the draft. Like, can they get guys who can contribute right away? Like, you have guys who are closer to being finished products than like developmental pieces. Obviously, they're going to take some time adjusting to the league as rookies, but they're not coming in, you know, after 2 or 3 years in college. These are guys who have been in college mostly for 4, 5, 6 years. So they're more likely to hit the ground running, I think, and potentially play football at a high level because a lot of these guys do have a ton of experience. So, yeah, I mean, we, you know, we can grade. I would give the draft class a solid B. I don't know, like based on my limited understanding of how football works. I would say it's sure. probably a B. Like, I'm not going to do the thing where it really matters to me where these guys were taken. Mm-hmm. If they're good football players, it's ultimately not going to matter. And if they stick on the roster and start down the line, like that's the most important thing. So I like Pearsall. I like Green. I think Puni makes sense for them. We can talk about them not taking like a true tackle, which I think is kind of in line with the thought that I had going into the draft, at least that, while there were a bunch of tackles in the first round, it just didn't, it felt like there were either like the really elite guys in the first half of round one or the, or some projects who were going to go, you know, in the second half of the first round. It just didn't seem like the Niners were poised to take a project and stick a project at right tackle, picking 31st. So I think overall it's fine. And obviously the jury's out. We'll see if these guys can play.
Yeah. What I care about at this point is like process, right? And Ricky Pearsall looks like he's going to be able to start in the NFL. Maybe he's never a wide receiver one, but if you're signing Brandon Ayuk long-term, you like him as a wide receiver two. And if you're finding a wide receiver two in the first round, I would way rather do that than just reach for a tackle for the sake of reaching for a tackle. An offensive tackle, that is. Same thing, Renardo Green in the second round. If the team is convicted, like, hey, this guy is going to be a starter this year. Or he's going to compete to start this year. At worst, he's a special teams guy, and he can start next year. Great.
Seems like all these dudes are special teams guys.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, which helps.
Just a draft full of special teamer. no, and then Dominic Puni, same thing. It played a lot of tackle in college, but played some guard as well. It sounds like he's going to play guard for the 49ers. Can very conceivably start at right guard this year, but at worst, he's a versatile reserve. And then Malik Mustafa, my favorite pick of the draft, is projects to be your starting strong safety probably next year. And when you look at that, you go, hey, they're checking boxes for not only this season, but also next season. And I lost my train of thought. I was going to talk about games, but oh, here we go. Reaching for a tackle. So they didn't reach for a tackle, but tight end was the other thing. It was the other position that I really thought they needed, but you go and you look at last year's class and they drafted two. They drafted Braden Willis and Cameron Latu in the third round. Bringing in another rookie tight end probably doesn't help them very much unless there was a player they were blown away by. So I like the overall process here. I like, you know, getting value to trade down one spot with the Chiefs. And here's I was listening to a different podcast and I want to talk about that trade. I know. I want to talk about that trade specifically. So the Niners traded from 63 to 64 with the Chiefs. The Niners got a fifth round pick. The Chiefs got a sixth round pick from the Niners. They just kind of pick swapped and moved up on day three. And this podcast was like, because the Chiefs took Kingsley Suamataya. And this podcast is like, if you're the Niners, why are you helping the Chiefs? Why are you helping them? Get their left tackle of the future. And it's like, because the Niners obviously think that Kingsley Suamataya stinks. They're obviously not in on him as a tackle prospect, so they don't think they're helping the Chiefs by letting them take him. Like that's they're like, yeah, sure, if you want to take this guy we don't like, I guess. So I thought that was a funny thing. But yeah, that's the thing that I had to kind of keep in mind as I was looking at this is, okay, you don't reach for a tackle just to do it. It's not like they don't have any bodies there. Colton McKivitz is an average-ish starting tackle. Maybe a little below average. But he's not like a mess. He's not a total disaster where you're upending your draft to try and find a replacement. So instead, right, they improved a bunch of other areas of the roster, theoretically improved a bunch of other areas of their roster with depth this year and with starters for next year. And when you talk about process, that's good process. And if they get two starters, maybe three out of this draft, guys who are starting for the team in 2026 and 2027, that's a huge success.
Yeah, I mean, in any given draft class long term, you're probably like two starters would be considered a success.
Mm-hmm.
Like two starters and two guys who stick on the roster doing special teams or working as backups. Like that's ultimately what a successful draft class is. And if you mm-hmm. get one star out of a draft class, then that's what that draft class is going to be known for.
Right.
So we'll see. Like time, we'll have plenty of time to decide whether or not, this draft class is good. But it's like, you can look at 2022. You know, it's easy to come out of any draft and be like, oh, this draft makes a lot of sense, and then 2 years later be like, yikes, it's not mm-hmm. a great draft, right? Like right. 2022, Drake Jackson, not awesome. Ty Davis Price, not on the team. Danny Gray, probably getting cut. Spencer Burford, is going to have to battle like hell to make the team, probably a backup. Sam Womack, same thing. Nick Sakel, yikes. Kalia Davis, maybe a reserve defensive tackle. Tariq Castro Fields, I believe, plays for Washington. And then you have Brock Purdy, right? So, like, you really only have one starter from your entire 2022 class, which was mm-hmm. 2, 4, 6, 9 players deep, right? So, mm-hmm. It's like we can go through and say we like every single pick. More likely than not, every single pick is not going to be a contributor over the long haul. So, right.
You like every single pick in theory.
Right. But yeah, you like the process. I like Green from the standpoint of like you loaded up on corner. It felt like in free agency, not with any like elite guys, mm-hmm. But Robinson and Isaac Yiadom seem like guys who like far better than Drake Kirkpatrick or Josh Norman, right? Like mm-hmm. you feel better about those guys. They have to play. If Green comes out and starts. Like Andrew Thomas did and gets off to a slow start or whatever.
I'm not sure if it's my headphones, but you sound like you're underwater.
Do I?
Oh, there you go. Now you're better.
Okay.
That was weird.
Yeah, we're all inputs are good. Let us know in the comments if you
it might have been my headphones. Maybe my headphones are being weird tonight.
Okay.
Anyways.
Are they better than Brian Allen? Great question. From Lewis in the
I'm gonna say yes
in the chat on YouTube. Yeah, man, I think the process makes sense. Like they didn't draft any dudes with like torn ACLs. They didn't draft any dudes. It's like, do we have any idea that this guy's good? Like they drafted guys who played a lot of football, who were like mm-hmm. team captains, experienced starters, played a bunch of games. Like it wasn't with the exception of the running back from Louisville, like mm-hmm. basically everyone they drafted had like a long resume in college and
yeah.
started a bunch of games. And so, we'll see. And even Isaac Arendo, like maybe he's
fascinating player.
Maybe he's Raheem Mostert, like who knows?
Dude,
but everyone 40? Makes sense. Like every pick like makes sense. Like, oh, I could see how this guy could fit on the roster. Whereas that wasn't always the case when Trent Baalke was drafting dudes like, oh, we got him a round earlier or yeah. a round later because he tore his ACL. Like, yeah, they didn't do anything like
that. I know the draft capital just overall helped this year, having a first round pick, having a second round pick. But even coming out of last year's draft, you looked at that class and went, what? Like, what is Cameron Latu doing for this team right now? What is I can't even remember who else was in the class last year. You saw what Jair Brown was doing, but it was like a kicker in the third round and two linebackers who wound up not really contributing. It was just a weird draft class. Whereas with this one, it felt like there was more purpose and yeah. not just, hey, let's see if we can add special teams depth for this year. I genuinely think there's guys who could contribute immediately, but then also in the future, which I think was kind of the goal. I want to talk about Isaac Garendo specifically for a second.
Okay.
41 games, one start, and his only start was in the bowl game of his senior year. I got big Elijah Mitchell vibes off the rip when I started watching him. And then I went and did a little deeper dive, like, into his numbers. And he missed 8 games in 2019 with a hamstring injury. He missed 6 games in 2020 with a hamstring injury. And he missed 9 games with a foot injury in 2021. It's like, oh no. That's all the wrong reasons to remind you of Elijah Mitchell. Tough.
Yeah, true. But also, like, a running back in the 4th round, you're probably willing to, like, take a shot on somebody who could potentially be a guy, but if he's healthy, like, this is an elite athlete.
Dude, he's crazy. He is, yes. It's evident. He's super balanced through contact. He runs away from people constantly. You see why the Niners traded 2 fists to go get him.
Yeah.
It's just, I think that there is a, for people who follow this team closely, there's definitely an instant like grimace when the team is trading 2 draft picks to move up in the 4th round or into the 4th round, because they traded 2 fifths for the 129th pick and they're taking a running back. And we've seen Joe Williams and we've seen Ty Davis Price and we've seen Trey Sermon.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I think this is somebody who could potentially complement the other guys they have, right? Like, he could be a change of pace, third down speed back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Christian McCaffrey can do a little bit of everything, but if you're going to have a backup to McCaffrey, you'd like to have somebody like Elijah Mitchell who could run between the tackles, be physical, who also has outside speed. But somebody like Garendo could be like your third guy who is just, you run the Raheem Mostert playbook and just like, we're gonna run wide zone. We'll tell the defense that we're gonna run it. We're gonna block it up really well, and we're just gonna have the fastest guy in the field have the ball. Because this dude can move. Like, 4.33 at 221 pounds is bananas.
He is mega fast, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, felt
like sharing that spider graph was worth it to the viewers on streaming with us live on YouTube.
I'm gonna share something now as well, because somebody brought this up in the chat about how athletic profiles or like really good athletic profiles was one of the like hallmarks of what they were looking to get this year for the 49ers. Let me close this ad. Perils of trying to do this live. There's an ad showing up on my page that will not close. This is cool. Yeah, great. No, basically the crux of what I wanted to say and show everybody was that RAS, relative athletic score, takes into account all these different factors with their athletic testing, their height, their weight, their speed, their explosiveness, all this other stuff. And all of the Niners guys are crazy high in relative athletic score. And
is that
it was just kind of
in spark rate rankings?
I think so.
Okay.
I never got too deep into the spark stuff, but anyways,
I missed the spark.
Just really clear that was just kind of a profile they were looking for. And even guys like Malik Mustafa and Renardo Green, who may not have the typical, I'm just going to stop. This is trash. Don't have the typical, like, 40 time and broad jump and this and that, their relative athletic scores are still really, really high. So I think that was a concerted effort by the 49ers this year to kind of change the type of player they were getting. And I think that's interesting in their first draft minus Adam Peters.
Yeah. They lean heavily in analytics. Like, they have an R&D department that John Lynch talks about all the time. They really are. I mean, I know every team in the league is probably pretty all encompassing, but they really are all encompassing. Like, their regional scouts have, tracked all these guys for years.
Right.
And go to practice and talk to strength coaches and talk to academic counselors and advisors and professors and assistant coaches and head coaches. Like these, there are very few things that are not known about each prospect that the 49ers take. And I think the athletic score stuff is definitely helpful, particularly like for Kyle Shanahan and specific spots like running back. If you can quantify how fast or how athletic somebody is, then maybe, you know, you can run different types of plays with him and diversify your playbook with those types of players. And particularly on offense, right? Like you need linemen who can move and get out in space and block at the second and third level. Like that's huge for Kyle Shanahan, right? And you need running backs who can utilize or who can be utilized behind that type of blocking. You need safeties like Mustafa who can play, you know, near the line of scrimmage, but also hold up in coverage reasonably well. So yeah. And like Green is not like an amazing athlete. I think he's a good enough athlete, but I think Green is somebody who's like intangibles. Again, like it's super football cliche to like say like this dude is a dog, but like I think Green is going to be a dog and is going to be somebody who could potentially start soon. And is not, you know, somebody who could potentially overcome not being, you know, 6'3 with 34-inch arms. Like he's might be small, but there are some small cornerbacks in the league who are really, really good. I'm not saying Green's going to be really, really good, but I think there's a chance given his mentality and his makeup. Like that's I think kind of the interesting thing. Like you talk about like relative athletic score and stuff. It's like when you can match the relative athletic score and the mental makeup and like character traits, like who the guy is as like a human. I think that's really the sweet spot. That's how you like find Fred Warners and George Kittles.
Exactly.
Right. Like that's how you identify those players. But the draft is a crapshoot and we really won't know until the games are played. But I like the class. I think it's a good class and I think they hit on positions that they needed to hit on.
Hey, it's Kyle and Chris from Candlestick Chronicles, and we're here to talk to you about Prize Picks. We love Prize Picks. I don't think, Chris, I don't think anything has ever enhanced my sports watching experience more than Daily Fantasy. I've had such a blast with it.
Even more so than having a podcast.
Yeah, way more than having a podcast. Like, okay. This is work. Prize Picks is the very best thing, and I know we talked about it all during football season, but y'all, it's not just a football. It's not just a football app. It's not just a football site. Prize Picks has, anything that you can think of, you can build a daily fantasy sports entry in it. 2 to 6 players, regardless of the sport, you pick more or less on their stat projections, and then you watch the winnings roll in. Or in our case, you watch the losses pile up. But we're ready to bounce back this basketball season. And baseball season or tennis or whatever you are into, you can build your entry. Again, 2 to 6 players, pick more or less on the stat projection, and it's my favorite thing. I had so much fun this year.
You don't have to be on an email chain with all of your friends.
It's a great point.
Hoping that they're going to be ready for the draft. You don't have to be scouring the waiver wire when your best running back and receiver gets injured on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You don't have to argue with your friends about doing a snake draft or an auction draft.
You're just giving me anxiety thinking about all these things.
It's a week. It's, you know, you can be on there. You can pick, you can make your picks and you can get out. You don't need to do hours and hours of research. Not that you can't. If you want to do all your research, more power to you. But all of the dregs that come along with being in a normal fantasy operation, you don't have to worry about with Prize Picks. And that's what makes it fun.
And the thing that I love about Prize Picks specifically with daily fantasy is you're not playing against like sharp guys. You're not playing against thousands of other players. It is you and your entry. And that's it. And it's super easy to use. You go to prizepicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's right. We're giving that to you. prizepicks.com/candlestick. First deposit promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Jump in there today. You're going to have a great time. And like I said, it's not just for football season. So get locked in. whatever sport you want, Prize Picks has got it at prizepicks.com/candlestick, and make sure to download the app as well. Super easy to use, super fun, and we think that you will love it just as much as we do. Again, that's prizepicks.com/candlestick, promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That's Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like myself, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. I promise, the 49ers, who all underwent off-season surgery, Dre Greenlaw, Treverius Ward, George Kittle, I promise they know all of those things. And that's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Candlestick Chronicles. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Man, that sounds awesome. Whether you're here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/candlestick to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD healing.com/candlestick. No materials or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Here's the bottom line. This roster is going to get super tough to keep together when Brock Purdy gets paid. And then you look at Ricky Pearsall in round one. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Debo's probably in his last year with the 49ers this year. Juwan Jennings also has not signed an extension. He is also an unrestricted free agent next year. At cornerback, Ambry Thomas, De'Amador Lenore, all the guys they signed this year. Treverius Ward, Rocky Sin. Is Treverius Ward a free agent next year?
I think this is the last year of his deal.
Okay, I'll buy that.
I'll look it up while you're making
it. It's not on Over the Cap, but either way, they have a bunch of cornerbacks hitting the free agent market next year. With Pooney, he's played left guard in his career. I'm sure he'll compete at right guard. Maybe they want to try him at tackle, but I'm guessing he stays at guard. And Aaron Banks is up for a contract next year. He's an unrestricted free agent. That's a very good player who may get like a Laken Tomlinson type deal where the 49ers just can't afford to keep him around. Malik Mustafa. Talano Hufanga, probably in his last year with the 49ers. If he comes back and plays well, I think there will be a contract out there for him that is more expensive than what the 49ers are able to afford, and that's where Malik Mustafa comes in. Isaac Garendo, both Elijah Mitchell and Jordan Mason are free agents next year. Mason will be a restricted free agent, but Elijah Mitchell is an unrestricted free agent. I doubt the 49ers are going to want to pay to keep him around given his injury stuff. And it's like, that's where Isaac... It feels like their first... and if you want to throw in Jacob Cowing and Jarrett Kingston and Tatum Bethune, the linebacker, Dre Greenlaw is going to be a free agent next year. There's just, you start going down this list of picks and you're like, oh, there's at least depth at these spots where they're potentially losing a ton of it in the next offseason.
Yeah, and it also, like I said earlier, it also feels like these guys can play on special teams. Like, Pearsall could be a return man. I read in scouting reports he could potentially be a gunner. We'll see about that. I think Green will be a special teams guy as a rookie. Like, I think he'd probably be really, really good as a gunner. I think Mustafa is going to be, like, you know, Talanoa Hufanga came into the league as a really good special teams player and spent basically his entire rookie season on special teams before becoming a starter. I think that's what Mustafa is going to do.
And Mustafa is going to make multiple Pro Bowls.
Wow.
I think he's really freaking good, dude. I have no idea why he slid to the fourth round, but he's just a freaking baller, man. He's a really, really good player.
I wonder if part of, like, there's talk with, like, the star position, right, which is kind of like a hybrid safety linebacker role that Brandon Staley's utilized before. I wonder if that's going to be sort of how you compensate for Dre Greenlaw's absence.
Mm, that's interesting.
While he misses time with the Achilles injury. Because it might be that, like, you know, you have Mustafa and Hufanga on the field at the same time. One of them's playing linebacker, or you kind of, you know, like, if you have versatility with those guys, I think both those guys could be on the field. And then you have them next to Fred Warner, but you're like, wait, which one of them's the linebacker? Like, who's, and they could, you know, you could have one guy drop deep, one guy stay at the line, and you can kind of like rotate and add that wrinkle to an offense and make it a little bit more confusing. I think that's an interesting wrinkle that Mustafa might provide if he's good enough to get on the field on defense. Sure. As a rookie. But sure. I think long term, like, you know, you mentioned Hufanga being a free agent, probably not going to pay him, right? It just feels like that as of right now, you know, in terms of like Hufanga was an all-pro last year and is a good player. But I think in terms of like, you know, guys you're probably going to let leave in free agency to bring back comp picks down the road, Hufanga is probably that guy. Mm-hmm. And I think Mustafa and Jair Brown complement each other well. Mm-hmm. And could be your long-term duo at safety, at least for, you know, 2 or 3 years after this one, when Hufanga leaves. But I'm interested to see if Mustafa is used as sort of like a hybrid linebacker type player.
Yeah,
because I think that could be super valuable if he's, you know, if he's a fourth round pick who's like on the field as a rookie because he's just a baller and can play linebacker, can play safety, and can do a bunch of different things for you. That's a really intriguing addition to your defense. It's already really good.
I wanted to see. Yeah, he's 5'10", 206. The linebacker they drafted, Tatum Bethune, is 5'11", 229.
Yeah.
It's not like a crazy size difference that Mustafa could run around and play that spot. No, I think he's a really, really good player. And I think the Niners kind of got a steal getting him at 124.
Yeah, I mean, he ran a 4.5. Damn, 41.5-inch vert.
Yeah, dude.
Get up.
Dude, he's rocked up, too.
Yeah.
He runs around, he hits, he can play high, he can play down in the box. I just, really instinctual. I'm a huge fan. I really, really enjoyed, because I, you know, go through and, fine, full disclosure, I don't watch every single draft prospect before the draft. Fine, I said it.
Wow.
So once the Niners draft guys, I do.
You admit that publicly.
Yeah, no, sorry. But I he was the player that jumped out. Like, Isaac Garendo, obviously really talented. The sample size is just not big, which may be appealing to the 49ers, like a guy who played 6 years of college football and has 231 carries. And not 700 carries or something crazy is probably a benefit. But Mustafa was just a guy that the more I watched and then started reading what people who do, you know, watch every single prospect were saying. Just like, man,
yeah,
I'm very surprised he made it to the fourth round.
Yeah. Yeah. All these dudes, like, I think also, Pearsall, Green, Pooney, and Mustafa have legit chances to be starters within the next 2 years.
Yes, definitely. I would very much agree. Did you?
Which I think you have to be pretty happy about. And again, like, it's very early, and we know, like, I'm not just doing a snap reaction. I do think, like, the skill set and just their backgrounds in college, I think these dudes can be starters.
Sure.
Sooner rather than later. And I think that's what you want ultimately from your draft.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see Renardo Green's numbers against Malik Nabers?
Saw he allowed 6 catches for 67 yards, and it was Nabers' second worst game of the season.
Okay, well, those were Nabers' numbers total. Against Green specifically, 2 catches for 20 yards on 5 targets, and Green had an interception.
Yeah, I think Nabers fell down on that play.
Yeah, because
probably Green from just Green's physical,
yes,
physicality.
That is 100% what happened, or he slipped.
Yeah,
but yeah, had an interception. Crazy.
Yeah, man,
cooked him, put him in hell. Yeah. No, I think there's. I think there's. When I was going through and doing the grades thing for Niners Wire, it was just a lot of like, outside of Mustafa, who, like I said, I'm very high on him. But like Pearsall, yeah, I think he's gonna be a solid player. Green, yeah, probably a solid player. Pooney, yeah, yeah, probably a solid player. And if I really that's what like they're Pearsall. Getting, if you're just getting quality starters, then great. Like that's winning. That's how you win drafts, dude.
I think Pearsall is gonna be a good player. Yeah. I agree. When the first thought I had when I was watching him, I was like, oh, this guy kind of looks like Dante Pettis. But then you watch a little bit longer and you're like, oh no, this dude's really, really
he's
physical.
A dog, bro. Yeah.
Yeah, he's very, very physical. He takes hits. He can do everything. I know he, you know, got 60 whatever percentage of his targets came from out of the slot. I think mm-hmm. the fact that he can play the slot just means that he moves well. Right, yeah. Like his three cone mm-hmm. number was insane. I remember that. Just the ability to take hits, the fearlessness to go over the middle, the mm-hmm. route running, the physicality, the strength of the catch point, whatever other football jargon words. Like I think Pearsall is a really, really good player. And I think if he were, you know, 6'2", 6'3", and had longer arms, he would have been like a top 15 pick. But he's just, he screams to me a Kyle Shanahan receiver.
Yeah.
And like, I think Shanahan, like, you're not going to hit on every guy you draft. And Shanahan's obviously had some misses at receiver. Jalen Hurd was, you know, a pretty big miss. Dante Pettis was a pretty big miss. But like, Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel were pretty damn good picks that were, mm-hmm. you know, second half of the first round and early second. Ricky Pearsall, 31 overall. It just feels like they might have got another one. And that's, man, if he's good as a rookie with Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, look out. And I think Pearsall is going to be really, really good with Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Yeah, thrives in that intermediate middle of the field area. Like, we talked about it on the last pod, like, led the nation in yards on crossing
yards
routes.
And catches on deep crossers.
Love a deep crosser.
You can already see it. Where JT O'Sullivan is going to he's going to be drawing the capital A, circling it.
Oh, yeah.
In the Brock Purdy breakdown. So you're like, watch Pearsall. Pearsall hasn't even broke yet. Purdy's separating and Pearsall hasn't even broke yet. It's capital A anticipation, the precision.
And then he's got to point out that Debo Samuel half-assed his route.
19. I don't know what he's doing here, but it's not for me.
I don't know. For me, this is not a good route. Don't love the heel click though.
Man, JT O'Sullivan's content is amazing.
It's really good. I'm really,
really happy he's here.
I've also talked myself into Jacob Cowan.
Okay.
It started out because I look at his stats, like, let's just start there. And he's listed on like the College Football Reference. He's listed at 5'11", and the University of Arizona lists him at 5'11". He measured into the combine at 5'8", which is nuts.
Yeah,
it's insane. So at first you go 5'8", 168, like no chance. But he ran a 4.38, I think. I think it was 4.38, 4.35, something like that. He can run, he can move. But he's not like a just deep ball guy, like he runs past everybody and runs underneath a deep throw and that's how he gets all his yards. Like, no, he's really effective at getting open over the middle and running away from people and avoiding contact. He does that thing where he comes back to the ball and then like spins away from defenders. Like, he has that just feel for where the defender is on his back. I have, over the last couple of days, as I've looked at more stuff, I have talked myself into Jacob Cowing being a good player for the 49ers.
Yeah, that's interesting because,
and I say good player like relative, as like a fourth receiver.
I feel like he's probably gonna have to make his mark as a return guy initially. But you know, like if you look at the Niners receiving core right now, you're probably going to have five guys active on game day. So Debo, Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, and Chris Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's your five. So
are we, hang on. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Well, and if it's not Conley, it's going to be somebody else who can contribute on special teams. Is kind of my point. Like, Cowing is that's going to, in my opinion, that's probably going to be how he cracks the roster, unless he's just like a dominant slot receiver early on, which he could be. But you don't see. I mean, of all the picks that they have, and this is not to say that I don't know that Cowing's going to be good. I just don't know how he slots in on the roster. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it just means he'll have to outplay people to get playing time. But in terms of like immediate, like the other guy, the first four picks, right, that we talked about, like there's a clear avenue towards them starting eventually at some point over the next couple of years. I don't know if I see it with Cowing. I don't know if that's a bad thing necessarily. Maybe he's just destined to be a fourth or fifth receiver at best. But I'm curious to see how his opportunities come.
If you are using the final pick on the fourth round on a wide receiver who is not going to make your team, I have questions. I have so many questions. And none of them are good.
Say that again.
If you're taking a second wide receiver in a draft and you're doing so with the last pick of the fourth round and that player is not making your team, what the hell are they doing? honestly,
oh, so yeah, and like
if that's how that's gonna go, then take a flyer on a tackle and see what happens. I would way better than that.
Is he better than Ronnie Bell?
I don't know. I've not seen him play football.
Right. So it's that. That's all. That's my only point. Is like Danny Gray is probably not making the roster, right? And I think you and
I would be floored if Danny Gray is on the San Francisco 49ers this year.
And I kind of feel the same way about Trent Taylor. Like, I know, you know, he has history and stuff like that, but like there are just a lot of numbers in the receiving room right now. I just don't know how likely it would be that Trent Taylor has a role in this team. So, but you're talking about like Ronnie Bell, Trent Taylor, Chris Connolly. I think Chris Connolly is like a really good fifth receiver who can help you on special teams.
You don't think they keep six receivers?
They'll keep six, but the guy won't be up.
Ronnie Bell is a seventh round pick, Johnny. Johnny in the chat is not a Ronnie Bell guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge Ronnie Bell guy either. But
fact that the Niners had injury stuff at receiver last year and Ronnie Bell was not on the field and Ray McLeod was says everything I didn't know about Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, and maybe Cowling's just their best returner. And maybe, you know, like maybe he's a better returner than Pearsall.
Sure.
We'll see.
I'm not even sure he's better than Chase Lucas, so we'll see on that.
Fair. We got it. Yeah. We'll see.
Couple things on some of their later round guys. Jarrett Kingston, the lineman they drafted from USC, also played at Washington State. Had like multiple starts at four of the five positions on the offensive line. And the first thing I see is, yeah, he'll probably play center in the NFL, which is the one position he didn't play. But he's a super good athlete, and I'm guessing the 49ers probably try and stick him at guard, like he just has all the guard stuff. And he's a good athlete, so I think that's an interesting player to keep an eye on. And Tatum Bethune, their final pick, hauls ass. He's so much fun to watch. I don't know if he's going to be any good. He misses a lot of tackles, and he's like I said, I think he's like 5'11", 229, but man, really fun player to watch. Plays like his hair is on fire. Big fan. I don't know if there's a spot for him on the roster, but
he was
really fun to learn about.
That D Winners Jalen Graham competition.
Yes. Yeah.
Demetrius Flanagan Fowles competition.
Yeah.
Zeke Turner. Forgot about him.
Oh, yeah. He's making the team. Special teams ace. Yeah, he's making the team for sure.
The Niners special teams might be really good.
You hope so. If they can't figure out how to be really damn good on special teams after this offseason, I've got so many questions. Like, what are we doing?
Their special teams should be good.
Yeah. I have not done a free... I've not done the undrafted free agent deep dive yet, so I don't have any thoughts on Mike Nugent.
Later in the week.
That's not Mike Nugent is not his name. Wasn't Mike Nugent a kicker?
Is it Ted Nugent?
I don't think it's Ted Nugent.
Some cat scratch.
Drake fever. Nugent. Drake Nugent. Is obviously. His name from Michigan. Go Blue. He was Josh Dubow's number one rated center in the draft.
Of course he was.
Rich Eisen embarrassed. Rich Eisen embarrassed himself this weekend. I love Rich
there
Eisen.
There was so much Michigan slurping. I don't know if any national championship team has ever been slurped so much.
Well, it was in Detroit. It makes sense.
I know, but it's like...
Also, slurping, I do not like that phrase. Can we use a different phrase?
Gassing up, talking about, I don't care. Whatever it is. Like, I just... It didn't feel like any of Nick Saban's national championship. And maybe, like, it just got old, right? But it was like, oh, yeah, Nick Saban won another one. It was like, oh, this Michigan team. Oh, what? Like Desmond Howard. Desmond Howard's analysis for most of the weekend was just... J.J. McCarthy was the most pro-ready player in the entire draft and is going to win offensive rookie of the year.
He might.
Come on.
It's a really good situation in Minnesota.
He might, but also is what, the fifth quarterback drafted? The fourth?
Yeah, fourth.
I don't know. Anyway, shout out to our Michigan friends who just really, really love their school.
It's very true.
Hopefully they figure out other things to talk about. Some point.
Drake Nugent spent 4 years at Stanford, though, so really he's a Stanford guy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
Tariq Owens, undrafted free agent signing. Where does he
fit in
this whole
puzzle?
Can't
believe the Niners didn't draft Frank Gore's son or Christian McCaffrey's brother.
Or Jerry Rice's kid.
Or Jerry Rice's kid, yeah.
There were two players I really wanted the 49ers to draft that they didn't. And it was devastating. Jaheim Bell.
Were you
Florida State tight end. I was, dude, absolutely gutted. Jaheim Bell, the tight end from Florida State, went to the Patriots. That sucked. It was like a couple picks before the Niners, too. It was brutal. Not that the Niners would have taken him, but. And then the other one was Malik Washington, a receiver from Virginia. He went after even Jacob Cowing, so I knew there was no chance the 49ers are going to take a third receiver. But he's a dog, and he plays for the Dolphins, and I think he's probably going to be better than Jalen Waddle. So
better than Jalen Waddle?
Yeah, watch out for Malik Washington, bro.
That is a takes.
Dude, he is a tank. He's impossible to tackle. He's so fun.
I have not watched Evan Anderson, as Johnny points out in the chat. The defensive tackle that they gave $280,000 to, which might be the most I've ever seen the Niners give an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I get the idea they really like him, and I get the idea that at that amount of money, he has a real shot to make the team.
Yeah.
It's not like they're loaded. It's not like they're loaded at defensive tackle.
Khalil Davis. That's probably the most surprising thing in the draft, honestly, that they didn't draft a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm. A stunner. They must really hate Johnny Newton's injury.
Yeah.
Our guy. We were so close.
The Reggie White of DJ Jones's.
Yeah, man.
Watching him, I was like, this guy is like DJ Jones on the cream. And the clear.
That's nuts.
He looked really good in college. But yeah, I thought he fit. Yeah, maybe the injury's bad. I mean, I know he was durable at Illinois. He started, every game for like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. You got anything else?
I don't think I have anything else. Good draft.
Yeah, I think so.
The only way it could have been better is if they packaged 251 and 215 and it moved up on day three, but that's fine. That's purely personal.
Then we could all just like go about our lives. My take is I think the first four guys are going to be starters.
Mine too.
By 2026.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. 2025. I've got him at 2025.
Maybe.
I think like this year, I think Pooney starts.
Mm-hmm.
And with Renardo Green, if he started, I wouldn't be shocked. It's not like there's a bunch of stiff competition over there at corner. Like Rocky Sin and Isaac Yiadom and...
I'm curious, like, if they do have an established guy on the outside and Diamador Lenore only plays in the slot and isn't playing both, I'm curious to see if that, like, if Lenore kind of thrives and starts like getting markedly better, just like having the responsibilities of one position rather than two.
Yeah. If he plays, he might get paid this offseason. If he plays really well.
Yeah. Be interesting. Mm. All right.
Fascinating.
Sorry about you, Heem Bell.
Class at some point. Sorry, man. I really enjoyed watching him play football, though.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
That's all I got.
We'll have more later in the week.
Definitely.
Thanks, everybody, streaming with us on our video platforms, YouTube and X, formerly Twitter. You can follow us on X, formerly Twitter, at CandleCron. Is that the handle?
CandleCron. No stick, no wickles.
And you can find us on YouTube at the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. And we live stream, I think, like 90% of our pods. There's some things we do that we don't live stream, but
there's some things we do where we're like, hey, we're not. Nobody needs to watch us trying to do this live.
I do not want people to see my face at the moment. yeah. All right. We appreciate everyone. Hope everyone enjoyed the draft weekend, and we'll have a lot more as more stuff comes out as we dive into these guys and the off season progresses.
Yep.
Keep locked in. We appreciate everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Mike.
The headlines remind us daily. The world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.